After the break, we're going to interview Eric Weihenmayer, who climbed the highest mountain in the world, Mount Everest. But he's gay. He's blind. So we'll hear about that.
Gay, blind, who knows? I am the not visually challenged Dave Rubin. This is the Rubin Report. It is March 4th, 2024. We are live streaming on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube post-game show. As always, RubinReport.locals.com. You can question me, query me, you can correct me, whatever you want to do, and you can help keep this show totally independent. The theme on this Monday is that we are seeing a bit of a decline in the culture of our nation. We talk about it all the time, but it is here, it is real. Yes, some people are waking up to it, but it is not going to stop. And the answer, or the solution, I should say, to this rot is probably just going back to some basic stuff that we all know is the good stuff. Stuff like family, stuff like, I don't know, some level of faith, some level of believing in law and order, things of that nature. But the machine, the bureaucracy, the swamp, it is not going to stop. The media is going to keep lying about all of the good people all along the way. And we've got some clips of Bill Maher, of Dr. Phil, of Jordan Peterson. This is sort of a best of the type of people that I'm often talking about. So, and then, of course, we'll do a little something from the free state of Florida, because things are working here. We have officially, it's official now, like officially, official, official. We have just completely annihilated diversity, equity, inclusion. DEI is gone from Florida. People said DeSantis couldn't do it or he shouldn't do it. Well, he damn well did it. And the free state of Florida is strong. So let's just dive right into it. Why not? Hey, we're here. You're watching. Let's do a show. Dr. Phil, who's making the rounds, he's got this new book out. So he is all over the place. And by the way, if you haven't seen our interview with him from last week, it's absolutely blowing up right now. So you can check that out. The full thing is up on Locals. Clips are on YouTube and Rumble. But in any event, he went on Bill Maher and he did that protected interview that they do right up front, not the panel, just that one-on-one interview. And they started talking about sort of what's gone wrong in the country over the last couple of years, how it's gone wrong. And perhaps there are some solutions that I just alluded to.
What I think we disagree a lot on is that you think family and faith are a big fix to the problems we have. I mean, I don't have a family, and I definitely don't have faith.
You're definitely not part of the solution.
Maybe I am.
No, here's the thing. I'm just saying that you come from a family.
I come from one, true.
So don't tell me you don't.
Yes.
Don't tell me you don't have a family.
Well, they're all gone now except my sister. Yes,
but you got a sister. Okay,
but I didn't start a new family, is what I'm saying. And I'm an atheist, so I don't have religion. And I think the country's moving in my direction. By the way, more people than ever are single, and more people than ever don't have a religion. Now, you may think that's a bad thing, and why we're going to hell in a handcart. But maybe it's also part of the solution, and it's certainly just where people want to be. I mean, when you say religion is the fix to this,
I didn't say
have
that.
You seen the Middle East?
I didn't say that.
You did in the book.
No, I did not.
What do you say about family and faith not the fix?
I said that for the first time in our country's history, membership in an organized religion has dropped below 50%. Now, here's why that's a problem. Why that's a problem, because that was one of the reasons that families got together at least once a week and spent quality time together. The reason it's dropped below 50% is because the reason they usually joined the church was because they wanted to have their children christened or baptized or whatever the ceremony was in that particular church. And our birth rate has dropped to 1.6. We need 2.1 in order to sustain the infrastructure that we have.
Okay, so Dr. Phil is talking about the things that have gone wrong and the ways to right them, and he's focusing on family and faith. There's some interesting things, and I'm not doing this, Bill, I'm not doing this to pile on you, but when Bill says, you know, I have no family and I definitely have no faith and there are more people that are single, he basically says the country is moving in his direction, meaning more single atheists. Is like anyone that's watching this right now, if you're single and or an atheist, which is perfectly fine, by the way. It is absolutely fine to be single. It is absolutely fine to be an atheist. Okay, fine. I don't know that societies can scale up with things like that. But do you think it would be, it's the best way out of what the problems are now? Like, we all, I think, inherently know that the family is the way out of this, that it's not going to come from government and the, sort of that top-down thing. It's going to be because of family. And when Dr. Phil, I don't think he's pushing religion on anyone. He's saying, oh, when people would go get baptized and once a week you'd have a meal with the family, like that does create a rich environment for people to have community. And we're missing community, right? We got social media, which then made us more anti-social. And the real question, I think, here is that what happens when you remove God or some level of faith, and family from the culture? Well, people are going to try to find something to believe in one way or another. I truly believe that the need for belief is so baked into the human experience that if you could say, okay, I don't believe in God, but Bill believes in something. He believes in the ideas of liberalism, which are sort of collapsing around him. You end up, as Jordan Peterson said to Sam Harris in one of their many debates about belief, you do believe in something, you just don't believe it. You just don't believe that. And therein lies the problem. Also, and again, this is not an attack on Bill, this is just straight up, I think when you have, say, $100 million and you can live a certain way in Hollywood and be single and without family, that can work at the micro level. But what Dr. Phil is talking about, what he's trying to diagnose, is the problem with our society that we know there is a major problem with. So let's get back to that that God thing for a moment. We showed you this video last week, but it's worth showing again. It's about 30 seconds from the televised mental institution known as MSNBC, where one of the analysts talks about how our rights come from government, not God. She got it completely wrong, but we'll play it again for you.
The one thing that unites all of them, because there's many different groups orbiting Trump, but the thing that unites them as Christian nationalists, not Christians, by the way, because Christian nationalists is very different, mm-hmm. is that they believe that our rights as Americans, as all human beings, don't come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. They come from God.
Yes, that's what the founders believe. That's what I believe. That's what most thinking people believe, that your rights come from God, something other than the government. You are born, put onto this earth. The government did not make you free, right? Our government was designed, the beauty of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution was that we created documents to protect your God-given freedoms. Now, you can be an atheist and actually believe that because you can believe there's an innate human right to freedom, right? It doesn't mean you have to believe this specific set of Christian beliefs or Jewish beliefs or anything else, but that freedom, if I dare quote Optimus Prime, freedom is the right of all sentient beings, okay? And the founders somehow understood that. Optimus Prime understood that, but this dingbat over on MSNBC doesn't understand it. Now, the problem, if you take her approach, that the government, that the earthly thing made you free, this group of people, they're the ones who made you free. You voted them in, you give them your tax dollars, and they make you free. Well, the problem with that is that then they can take away your freedom. And Dr. Phil and Bill Maher got into how our freedoms were taken away by a bunch of often unelected people during the pandemic.
And then COVID hits 10 years later, and our government, instead of letting us work this out among ourselves, they come in and shut the schools down. And I said at the time, if you do this long term, this is going to create more damage than the virus itself.
So you just walked into my trap. Because
you didn't just walk into mine.
I can't. There's no trap for me. I'm not married. But they're going to get to that. But you're talking about school closings. This is a political issue. It came from political offices. It has to be decided on a political basis. We only are looking for solutions. Let's get to the real part of this and then not get involved politically.
Did it, though? Did we elect the people that shut the schools down or were they appointed?
Yes. Of course we did.
No, we didn't.
Well, we didn't elect Trump and Biden?
We didn't elect the people that made the decision to shut down the schools.
Well, they could have been overruled by Trump and Biden.
But they weren't.
Okay, but that's still politics.
Well, if your aunt had nuts, she'd be your uncle. That's a big if.
That's unfair.
That's a real big if. These people made the decision to shut the schools down without any plan for opening them back up. These are bureaucrats, not politicians.
Okay, well, bureaucrats are politicians.
You got me there.
The main reason I wanted to show you that clip was just for that one line. If your aunt had nuts, she'd be your uncle. That's a good one. I'm using that. We'll credit Dr. Phil. Okay, fine. But the point there is that we outsourced all of the decision-making of our lives, whether you could go outside, what you could eat, what you were going to be injected with, whether you were going to have your yearly cancer screening, et cetera, to a bunch of unelected people. So Dr. Phil is right, right? It was the NIH and the CDC and Walensky and Fauci and all of those people that were making the decisions. Bill is also making a point. Obviously, the governors and the politicians had something to do with it. Florida opening up quickly, South Dakota opening up quickly, Cali laying in there for years, New York, et cetera, et cetera. But the point is, we outsourced all of our decision-making power. We decided to believe in the system as if the system really cares about us, starting to think that it doesn't. We'll talk more about who's to blame on that front in just a second, but let me talk to you guys about the wellness company. Guys, we can't possibly predict everything that's going to be thrown at us. We can prepare for it. That's where the Wellness Company's First Aid Emergency Kit steps in, setting a new standard in readiness and convenience. The Wellness Company's First Aid Emergency Kit is nothing like your average drugstore first aid kit. It's a lifeline when you need it most, containing a tourniquet, coagulating powder, eyewash, a lidocaine patch, instant glucose powder, as well as key prescription medications and a range of essential tools that make all the difference in an emergency. The Wellness Company's First Aid Kit is your ultimate guard against the unexpected. When time is critical and immediate action is needed, the Wellness Company's First Aid Emergency Kit gives you that edge. Respond quickly with the right tools and effectively with the guidebook to injuries or accidents. It's a level of preparedness that you won't find in any other kit. Stay one step ahead. Get the Wellness Company's First Aid Emergency Kit today. Visit twc.health/Ruben and use promo code Ruben for an extra 15% discount. Your safety and preparedness are invaluable, so trust the Wellness Company. And now back to me. Okay, so let's talk about who the people are that got us into this mess and why so many people right now don't trust the government, don't trust the agencies, don't trust the media, and that we rightfully don't trust them, we're being told that we're the misinformation specialists, that we're the conspiracy theorists, and everything else. Well, let's just flash back. This wasn't that long ago. You may remember this. It's the elderly man pretending to be president, and here he is either completely lying or having no idea what he's talking about. It actually doesn't matter. Enjoy. Yeah, we'll go to the Biden one. Nope, we don't have it. We got the Fauci one. We don't have the Biden one. Sorry, guys, we made a last second swap. What we were gonna show you there, we had a little upside down moment right before the show. What we were going to show you there was Joe Biden, and you remember when he was president saying that if you get the vaccine, you will not get nor transmit COVID. But put that aside, you've all seen the video a million times. Let's just jump into Fauci, who's still around, still making excuses. And yes, it's the people who question him that are normalizing untruths.
We are living in an arena or an era of what I call the normalization of untruths. And the misinformation and disinformation that spreads around is stunning. I mean, to the point where if you normalize it and accept it, then truth has no value. Mm-hmm. And when truth has no value, science falls apart, because science is a process for getting to evidence, data, and truth. And if you take that away, then skepticism abounds. Who are you going to believe? You're going to believe a health official? No, because they said that this was going to happen and that happened. So, you know, when I hate to be giving lessons to audiences, but spare me here, is that if there's anything that you can really do to help your country and society is push back on this normalization of untruth. Don't accept it as, well, that's the way things are. Because once we accept that that's the way things are, the democracy is going to fall apart. Mm-hmm. It really will. And I'm not being hyperbolic about it. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen. So it goes well beyond skepticism of public health. It's in all the society.
Yeah. You know how I always say these guys just need a mirror, right? Like somebody, if we could get Fauci's address, I will find a very fancy mirror and have it sent overnight to his house, because that's all he needs. Everything he's accusing the rest of is what he did, right? Fauci pushed misinformation the entire time. You guys all know it. The emails that he sent out in like March or April of 2020 saying to friends that they could go on vacation because masks are useless, so don't even bother wearing them. The fact that they pushed the vaccine, lockdowns, social distancing, these were all made up things. None of it worked. Okay, we now know all of that, but they keep coming, and a certain set of people, oh, and by the way, they always couch it with, if you question too many things, I thought scientists were for skepticism. He's now a new breed of scientists that don't believe in skepticism. But if you question them and you don't believe them, then guess what? Democracy's also gonna fall apart. Well, there are a couple good scientists out there. One of them is from Stanford. You know Jay Bhattacharya. He's been on the show a bunch of times. And he has been on the forefront of actual skepticism, questioning what the government is doing and why they're injecting us with things and do they have efficacy and all of those things. He had an interesting tweet because there's some really crazy stuff coming out of Canada right now. He wrote, in the imminent dystopian post-online harms act Canada, the government can arrest you even though you have committed no crime. He's quote tweeting Trish Wood, and let me read this to you, it's really wild. Those responsible, and this, it's called the Online Harms Act in Canada, need to resign from office immediately. Any opposition member not calling for their urgent replacement is also captured. Our most basic right is being stolen by Trudeau's ideologues. This cannot stand, and here's just a bit about it. Justice Minister Arif Virani has defended a new power in the online harms bill to impose house arrest on someone who is feared to commit a hate crime in the future, even if they have not yet done so already. Did any of you see Minority Report? This is pre-crime. The person could be made to wear an electronic tag if the Attorney General requests it or ordered by a judge to remain at home, the bill says. Mr. Virani, who is Attorney General as well as Justice Minister, said it is important that any peace bond be calibrated carefully, saying it would have to meet a high threshold to apply. Do you guys get it? They are literally going for pre-crime. If you didn't see Minority Report with Tom Cruise, Spielberg movie from about 20 years ago, it's a spectacular, spectacular movie. That's what they're going for. So that means if they look at your Twitter account, oh, this guy, you know, he follows Trump and he's saying these America First things, or he doesn't like Trudeau or blah, blah, blah. Could we put them on house arrest? And of course, it will have a very high threshold. But you know it'll only go in one direction, right? It won't be for the Antifa people or the Hamas people who are running the streets right now in Toronto. It's absolutely insane what's going on in Toronto and in much of Canada. It's always going to be for people on the right. You guys get it. You know it. But the point of all of this is that it is a damn shame, to say the least, that the people we were supposed to trust about public safety and our health and a whole bunch more, who probably decades ago were at least somewhat trustworthy and competent and everything else, have just completely abdicated their duty. Another scientist who I trust, you know him from the Rubin Report, Dr. Brett Weinstein, he testified at Congress just a few days ago about how public trust is collapsing right now, and it's kind of exactly what should happen.
I believe we must zoom out if we are to understand the pattern that we are gathered here to explore, because the pattern is larger than federal health agencies and the COVID cartel. If we do zoom out and ask, what are they hiding? The answer becomes as obvious as it is disturbing. They are hiding everything. It will be jarring for many to hear a scientist speak with such certainty. It should be jarring. We are trained to present ideas with caution as hypotheses in need of a test. But in this case, I have tested the idea, and I am as certain of it as I am of anything. We are being systematically blinded. It is the only explanation I have encountered that will not only describe the present, but also, in my experience, predicts the future with all but perfect accuracy. The pattern is a simple one. You can see it clearly and test it yourself. Every single institution dedicated to public truth-seeking is under simultaneous attack. They are all in a state of collapse. Every body of experts fails utterly. Individual experts who resist, or worse, in an attempt to return their institutions to sanity, they find themselves coerced into submission. If they won't buckle, they are marginalized or forced out. Those outside of the institutions who either seek truth alone or who build new institutions with a truth-seeking mission face merciless attacks on both their integrity and expertise, often by the very institutions whose mission they refuse to abandon.
All right, Brett is given a very, very stark warning there. And if you didn't see my interview with Brett from about 2 months ago, right in here, it's spectacular. And he's actually laying that out in a much deeper way because we get to sit down for the full hour. But you know what he said is true there. The institutions are collapsing. Everyone who stands up against the institutions, whether it's the CDC or whether it's a good, actually liberal professor who believes in free speech at Harvard, let's say, they are the ones who are booted out. And what he's saying is there is a coordinated attack on all of our institutions, right? And we see it. We see it absolutely everywhere. This DEI thing got pushed into all of the institutions, and it's doing exactly what it set out to do. It's why I always say you can't just, they're just a bunch of purple-haired, fat, asexual losers. It's like, well, okay, that might be true, but they also caused a hell of a lot of damage, right? And now we know we have selective prosecution because it's gone into our judiciary. It is across the board. And what happens if all of our institutions collapse? Well, Fauci's warning about if you're too skeptical, if we get too many of these skeptical people, it might end democracy. But actually, if all of our institutions crap out, that would be the thing that could end democracy. Brett talked about that.
Our research universities spend huge sums of public money to reach preordained conclusions. Professors teach only lessons that are consistent with wisdom students have picked up on TikTok, even when those lessons contradict the foundational principles of their disciplines. The CDC has become an excellent guide to protecting your health, but only for people who realize you should do the opposite of whatever it advises. The courts, the last holdout in this ongoing inversion of reality, are now regularly used as a coercive weapon of elites against those who threaten them. We have literally witnessed the Department of Homeland Security attempt to set up a truth ministry and declare accurate critique of government as a kind of terrorism. To my fellow patriots in the West, the pattern is unmistakable. I cannot tell you with any certainty who they are or what they hope to accomplish, but I can tell you that we are being systematically denied the tools of enlightenment and the rights guaranteed in our Constitution. Those who remain dedicated to the values of the West must fight this battle courageously, and we must win. For if we do not stem the tide, the result will be a dark age that differs from prior dark ages only in the power and sophistication of the coercive instruments wielded by those who will rule us.
I have to say, it's sort of an honor doing the show in a weird way, like interviewing all of these people, becoming friends with them, breaking bread with them, knowing them so well, and then seeing the type of people, and obviously Brett, right in the middle of it, of who are just leveling up and are part of the solution, or at least trying to expose the problem. His line about doing the opposite of what the CDC said was pretty great. Also, you know, it's interesting. He says something to the effect of, I don't know who they are or what they hope to accomplish. And that's why I always refer to it. You can refer to it as the machine, whatever you want, the swamp, whatever it is. Like, we don't know exactly who they are, the globalists, like, but there is something wrong in our system. We all know it. We all know that there are people on mainstream media who just lie about everything, and that there are people at all the institutions who lie about everything. And it's like, why? Why? I don't know. I don't know exactly. I mean, is it to just fundamentally destroy the West, as he says? I guess that's quite likely. But, you know, everything that we focused on so far has been about COVID. And I know when we do COVID stuff, a certain set of people are like, well, it's in the past and we shouldn't worry about it and it's never going to happen again and we'll rise up this time. I'm not so convinced of that. But why don't we take that actually to some of the things that are happening right now, un-COVID, well, they're not really un-COVID related because this stuff is all related, but immigration and big tech censorship. We'll talk about that on the other side. Real quick, let me talk to you guys about Hillsdale College. Guys, time is our most precious commodity, and I've heard from so many of my listeners who have asked for my advice on how they can spend it wisely to improve themselves and the people around them. That's why I'm excited that Hillsdale College is offering more than 40 free online courses in the most important and enduring subject. You can learn about the works of C.S. Lewis, the stories in the Book of Genesis, the meaning of the U.S. Constitution, the rise and fall of the Roman Republic, or the history of the ancient Christian church with Hillsdale College's online courses, all available for free. That's right, totally free. I recommend you sign up for American Citizenship and Its Decline with Victor Davis Hanson. In this 8-lecture course, Dr. Hanson explores the history of citizenship in the West and the threat it faces today. Threats like the erosion of the middle class, the disappearance of our borders, the growth of an unaccountable deep state, Jesus, was this the right ad or what? And the rise of globalist organizations. The course is self-paced so that you can start whenever and wherever. Start your free course, American Citizenship, and it's declined with Victor Davis Hanson today. Go right now to hillsdale.edu/Dave to start. It's free and it's easy to get started. That's hillsdale.edu/Dave to start. And now back to me. So let's jump this, all of this misinformation and who can you trust and watching our institutions collapse and... Well, why the hell is it happening and who's doing it to us? Let's get that out of the COVID thing for a moment and let's bring it up to the border thing, because the border thing is the big thing at the moment. If you don't have a border, you don't have a country. A certain orange man said that a couple of years ago and they said he was Hitler. Well, here is Mike Johnson, obviously head of the Republicans in the House, going after Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, who I believe is, he's being impeached. He's in the middle of impeachment. They're going out there impeaching this guy. We'll see what happens. Here they are talking about the Disinformation Governance Board back in July of 23. I think it'll frame this nicely.
Can you define what misinformation is?
Congressman, misinformation is false information that is disseminated to...
Excellent. Who determines what is false?
Congressman, our focus...
No, our who focus. Determines what is false in your agency? Congressman, if you're going to pull something off the internet and collude with a social media platform to make sure Americans don't see it, who determines what's false?
Congressman, we don't do that.
That's not true. That is not true. That is not what the court has found. This is not a Republican talking point. This is what the documents show. We've had people testify under oath that say, and you just defined the term, you're telling me that you don't know who determines what is false?
Congressman, what we do at CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, is identify the tactics that adverse nation states use to weaponize disinformation.
Okay, what is disinformation? What is disinformation?
Disinformation is inaccurate information.
Who determines what's inaccurate? Who determines what's false? Do you understand the problem here? The reason the framers of our Constitution did not create an exception for quote-unquote false information from the First Amendment is because they didn't trust the government to determine what it is. And you have whole committees of people in your agency trying to determine what they define as false or misinformation.
Okay, I should note that that's back in July of 23, so he wasn't even head of the Republican Party or head of the Republicans in the House yet, but he's making a great point. Who is to determine what disinformation is, and that the founders understood that if you let the government decide what disinformation is and you don't protect that speech by the First Amendment, then anything that goes against the narrative, the government will be defined as disinformation and you're going to be jailing a whole bunch of people. But by the way, if Mayorkas, much like Fauci and the rest of them, were concerned about disinformation, they would only need that mirror. Mayorkas might go, boy, was I spreading disinformation for the last year when I kept telling people that the border was secure? That seems to me to be disinformation. We know it was not. Fauci might go, you know, I kept telling everybody that masks work while I was emailing my friend who was going on vacation that they didn't work. I guess that was disinformation. I want to go back to this July 23 hearing one more time. Thomas Massie from Kentucky, this is a clever little trick that he did there, asked Mayorkas what the word malinformation actually means.
The Department of Homeland Security issued a National Terrorism Advisory System bulletin this year in February. It said the United States remains in a heightened threat environment fueled by several factors, including online environment filled with false or misleading narratives and conspiracy theories, and other forms of mis, dis, and malinformation. Can you define malinformation for us?
Congressman, we're dealing with false information that is used for a particular purpose.
Isn't malinformation actually true information that may be inconvenient to the establishment orthodoxy?
I'm sorry, Congressman.
Isn't malinformation a made-up word that refers to information that's actually true but just inconvenient to the government narrative?
That is not true.
It's like, are you guys just making up words? Because anything that we say that you don't like, you call it misinformation or malinformation. Mayorkas, okay, fine. But the point of all of this is that Mayorkas has been leading the charge. And by the way, he's doing it it's coming from Biden, I suppose, or whoever's running Biden. So Mayorkas is just doing what he's told to do. He's just a tool of the machine, or he's just a cog in the machine, I should say. But he has been telling us for years now that there's no problem at the border. We know there is a problem at the border. That would be considered mis or malinformation. Here's a chart from Statista explaining a bit about what's going on at the border. And you can see, you don't need to even look at the numbers. You see how the red keeps going up and up, and particularly in these last 3 years since Joe Biden took over, the amount of migrant encounters is absolutely exploding. By the way, I know you know this, but we don't need more laws. We don't need a bipartisan bill. We don't need anything that we don't currently have in place to protect the border. We just need the will to do it, which we don't have. Anyway, one more from Mayorkas. He's out there, this Mayorkas guy. He is out there and he is lying. This guy is a misinformation agent. Here he is. Catch the lie. Let's see if you can do it.
Is it the policy of the Biden administration to allow as many migrants to come across the border in order to change the political dynamics, the electoral dynamics of America?
Of course not. And the facts indicate that that is absolutely false. Since May of this year, of last year, we have removed or returned more individuals than in any year since 2015, and we haven't even run 12 months.
Mayorkas. You see, we all see what you did there. Okay, maybe you remove, let's just, I'm not even totally sure that's true. I suspect it isn't. But let's say you've removed a whole bunch of people. It's not about that. If you're letting in quite literally 10 times the amount of people that we were letting in, say in the last year of Donald Trump, about 300,000 people got in. We think last year it was about 3 million people. And these are only the ones that we can track. So even if you kicked out a few more people, which by the way, if Trump had done it, you would have called it racist. That is not a true answer. You seem to be some sort of misinformation or malinformation specialist. I have to concede I'm a misinformation specialist because I told you a moment ago we only had one more for Mayorkas, but we've got a bonus, Mayorkas. But see, when I do misinformation, I call it out. It's there, that's it. It was a little thing. Let's not make a big deal about it. Here's Mayorkas with more misinformation. Somehow he knows that, some of these Texas wildfires, it's climate change. He does not know that, but he's a misinformation guy, so here you go.
We are in winter, and this is the largest fire in Texas history. We are seeing unprecedented blizzards in the north of California. We, as a country and as a world, have to be ready for the increasing effects of extreme weather caused by climate change. It's a remarkable phenomenon, and it will manifest itself in the days to come, and we have to prepare for it.
Fire in the winter? How did that happen? They just have no evidence. They have just no evidence. Now, look, would I put it past these people? Do they have crazy lasers up in space like Cobra, and they're gonna shoot them and burn things down and weather machines and all of this stuff so that we all think that climate change is happening? I suppose that's possible. But what they really want is just more control over you. And if you think that this Mayorkas guy who can't figure out how to close a border and the rest of this clown car administration can deal with it, let's say climate change was real, like absolutely real, and it's getting hotter and hotter and hotter, and we better do some shit quick. If you think that AOC and Mayorkas and Joe Biden and Jerry Nadler and the Crypt Keeper and the rest of these clown people can fix the environment, I've got a bridge to sell you. But speaking of the clown car of Democrats, they are just a tremendous amount of them, and they screw up everything, and then they blame everybody else for it. One of the guys that's doing that right now is Mayor Eric Adams in New York. Now, Eric Adams, who of course was voted in, people said he's not a complete psychotic progressive. He'll be a little bit better. Well, he turned it into a sanctuary city. They're literally kicking homeless people out of the homeless shelters to put more migrants in there. The world famous Roosevelt Hotel is now a migrant facility. You've got Hamas rallies every weekend. And what else is he doing? He's quite literally taking taxpayer dollars. So he takes money from the people who actually do good in the city, who abide by the laws. He takes their money and he gives cash to these illegal immigrants.
But one of the things you are doing is an experimental program to provide debit cards with cash on the card. This has created an enormous controversy in the city among some taxpayers who say, why are we paying and giving out this money to these migrants? And isn't this only going to encourage more migrants to come to New York?
And the reason it's created such controversy is because how it has been reported and distorted. Here's what we're doing. We are required to feed migrants and asylum seekers, as well as everyone else in our homeless system. About 40,000 are in the homeless system that are not migrant and asylum seekers. We're required to feed them. And so what I told the team to do is we have to find a way to do it that's less costly, because we want a 30% decrease in the cost of the migrant crisis, and that we don't have food waste. We were able to do that. We're saving approximately $600,000 a month, $7.2 million a year by giving individuals a card that allows them to buy food or baby supplies.
Such BS. Dude, you created the problem by creating a sanctuary city. You said, everybody come here and we'll feed you and give you a hotel room and everything else. You know that in some of the hotel rooms, they have room service. So what you most likely have is a woman who's working as the, you know, who's cleaning up the rooms, right? And she probably came here legally, and now she's cleaning up the room of someone who came here illegally. Like, think how absolutely bananas that is. But you guys create, and we've got to, you guys create the problem. We've got to feed all of these people. So how are we going to do it? We're just going to hand them cash, and somehow that will put less strain. It's illegal. It's not illegal. It's immoral at the very least, just taking from those. And we know that more and more people are just leaving the city. They cannot take it anymore. But every time the Democrats create a problem, they also tell you that they don't have the solution, that they can't solve anything, even though they created it in the first place. Cue Joe Biden.
Why are you waiting to take executive action on the border?
Because we need more forces on the border. I don't have the authority to do that.
Oh, he doesn't have the authority to do that. The first day in office, you know, they always talk about the first day in office, he rescinded about 90 things that Trump had done related to the border. He rescinded them. Everyone knows if he wanted to close the border right now, he could. We do not need a bipartisan bill. There is no, we already have all of the laws. That we have the laws, we have the facts on the ground, we know where our border is, we're allowed to protect it. Everything they say is an absolute lie. And now he needs, I mean, this is the same guy, and I guess it's not Biden because he's just a mind-muddled fool, but these are the same people who 3 months ago were telling us there is no crisis, and now they just need more money. They need more money and more forces, and Biden tweeted out over the weekend that we just need more agents so that we can help process people faster, because that's really the problem. We just need to figure out a way to get them all in. But this all gets back to what Brett was testifying about at Congress, which is that I don't know exactly why they are doing all this, and you can all have your own theory. It's intentional destruction. The Biden's not really the president. They're all inept, like they're ushering in communism or Marxism or it's the globalists or whatever. But the point is that the more and as more and more of us wake up to this stuff, they are just not going to stop gaslighting us and lying to us over and over again. And this is what they've done for quite some time. One of the key gaslighters over the last couple of years was Jen Psaki, who was the White House press secretary. Well, after she was probably the worst, most dishonest press secretary in the history of the United States, then she got a gig over at MSNBC. That's how it works. And here she is completely lying about the illegal migrant crime wave.
His so-called migrant crime wave is just not happening. It's a lie. An NBC News analysis released just this week found that crime has actually dropped in the cities that received the most migrants from the southern border. Sorry, Trump, your product is a little sketchy. But for Trump, this issue has never been about the facts. It's about fanning fear. And unfortunately, it might be working a bit. According to the latest Gallup poll, Americans are most likely to say that immigration is the most important problem today, even more than the economy and inflation.
Lies. Well, the last part's not a lie. Immigration is what's top of mind for most people, because most people do see the actual videos of the crime and the videos of people flooding the border and everything else, the stuff that you don't show on MSNBC. Now, MSNBC, she's shooting that right in Midtown New York City. Jen, might I ask, now I know that you have a paid chauffeur who drives you from your, my guess is, Upper East Side, a very expensive multi-million dollar apartment, and then drives you directly to Rockefeller Center, and you probably have a security guard that gets you into the building and all that, and that's pretty great for you, and that guy probably has a gun, you know, But whatever, okay, fine. Might I recommend, Jen Psaki, you walk around Midtown New York City a little bit? How about you get on the subway, Jen Psaki, and then tell me how safe it is? You do not, this is one of those things that you do not need to dive into all of the data on, and there's all sorts of reasons how they can skew data, but anyone just go to these big cities. You all know it's true. It's not even worth analyzing her and her dishonesty any further. But let's show you a place where things actually are working. And congratulations, it is not New York. Got some info here from Florida Voice. Breaking: undocumented alleged rapist rearrested in Martin County after pressure from Governor Ron DeSantis's administration and Representative Brian Mast. ICE said they had no bed space for the man, but after facing pressure, federal authorities reversed course. So you really need to understand this. That guy you're looking at right there, convicted rapist. They put him back out on the streets because we've got no beds for this guy. I don't know, I guess it's illegals in the beds, or who knows, the guy didn't want to be in a bed. He wanted a full-size bed. We only had twins. Who the hell knows? The guy's out on the street. Well, DeSantis was not going to deal, put up with that shit. And yeah, they immediately rearrested him. Here is some info from Brian Griffin on the DeSantis team. Governor DeSantis has zero tolerance for illegal alien criminals who shouldn't even be in this country in the first place. At Ron DeSantis' direction, senior state law enforcement officials immediately reached out to ICE to insist local law enforcement had the authority to re-detain the individual and ensure he wouldn't be able to bring harm to Floridians. So what ICE, what the federal government would not do, they were in dereliction of their duty, letting a rapist, an illegal rapist, was wandering around. But you know what? You don't get away with that shit in Florida. You can get away with it in New York. And Mayor Adams will hand you a debit card so you can go get Burger King. But in Florida, we're going to arrest you. Here is Governor DeSantis talking about how he's giving the left a taste of their own medicine.
I'm sick of elites imposing their vision on open borders on you and on us, with them not having to face the consequences of it. So we thought it was worth it to send 50 illegals to Martha's Vineyard. They said they were a sanctuary city. They claimed that nobody was illegal and all are welcome. But you know what they did? They deported them the next day. They called out the army to deport just 50 of them. Just think what's going on at the border with our border town.
So you do the right thing, and then you also expose their bullshit, right? You expose their hypocrisy. And the chip, these people will fold faster than a wet paper bag once they, oh my God, they're in Martha's Vineyard. Well, we better. You guys get it.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
So the point of showing you the DeSantis stuff, and I get it, not running for president anymore, and I'm quite happy that he's the governor here in Florida, is to show you that while those institutions collapse that Brett was warning about, while people like Jen Psaki gaslight you all along the way, there are pockets of sanity where things are working. So this broke over the last couple days. This is just absolutely spectacular. And this is from Chris Rufo. Breaking: University of Florida has fired all employees related to diversity, equity, and inclusion. The conservative counter-revolution has begun. And there is a University of Florida administrative memo which explains the entire thing. We don't have to read the whole thing, but you get the point. They have kicked out the diversity, equity, and inclusion departments, and this is going across the board here in Florida. And Ron DeSantis tweeted it out with one of his lines: Florida is where DEI goes to die. Of course, mainstream media is not too thrilled about this. NBC News had this headline: schools, companies, and individuals have been seeking solutions to become more racially and socially inclusive. But those efforts have invited a backlash, with some conservatives countering DEI efforts in several industries. So they frame it. You see how it's framed? Leave it there for a moment, Connor. It's framed that DEI is good, socially and racially inclusive. We all know that it's modern racism and it's modern bigotry and all of those things. Alas, the mainstream media will always frame it. If you push back against any of their BS, you're a mean conservative, you're scary, and most likely you're racist. Get that guy on a list. Got to figure out how to do this segue right here, because I was 50-50 on showing you this video today, because obviously things are working here in Florida. We're showing you a system that's collapsing. We're showing you pockets of places where things can work. You know, we haven't done too much of racehorse politics in the last little bit, because it looks like it's going to be Trump and it looks like it's going to be Biden. And I don't sense any energy really around either one of it right now. It just feels like it's just like, bleh, let's just get to November. But okay. Anyway, Trump gave a rally, and tell me if this is the right tone, if you think this is the right tone of what we need right now, and you'll see why I'm playing it right after that DEI stuff.
You know, one of the opponents long gone, one of our Republican opponents said, well, I can serve for 8 years, and it's going to take 8 years. I said, let him get that expression out a little bit longer, and then I'll hit him with it. I said, listen, if it takes 8 years, you don't want to vote for that person, because this should take a year. We're going to get everything done in 3 months, 6 months, and a year. And we're going to start drilling. We're going to start drill.
I mean, good. It's like, Trump, this is where you have to level up. First off, why are you still going after DeSantis? He's out. He is the best governor in the country, and you know it. Also, what Trump says there, and this is where, yes, he is better than Biden, obviously. But like, oh, he thought he would need 8 years. I'm going to get it all done in less than a year, 3 months, 6 months. Dude, you were already president. You get it. You didn't get it all done. You were a better president than Joe Biden. Yes. But no one in there, right? It's like, do you, if you're there at that rally and you're applauding that, like, do you want to be like abused and lied to? Yes, Trump's going to get it all done in 3 months, whatever the hell all of it is. He can do it in 3 months. This time, it's like, dude, you better level up. You have an opportunity to get all those disaffected liberals, and there's plenty of them. But if you're just going to do the same sort of lying and whatever, it ain't going to fly. I want to jump back to another thing that happened on Real Time with Bill Maher on Friday night. Batya Unger Sargun, who is a journalist, they were getting into it on the panel with Bill about where America is at. She tends to lean a little more conservative. I don't think she's like a full-blown conservative or Republican or anything like that. But Bill was taking the position that things are better now. She took the counter position. Take a look.
You think the country is better off now than it was 4 years ago? You really can say that with a straight face, that we're doing better now than in 2018, like economically, in terms of this immigration crisis? Like, you think we're doing better now than 4 years ago? Really?
Well, there was a pandemic in the middle of it, which we greatly overreacted to.
And recovered from.
And recovered from. Well, who did that?
I'm saying, do you think the country is better off now than it was 4 years ago?
I think there were these two crises. I think there was...
Surprising. Do you?
Two major economic crises in this century. One was the meltdown in 2008. Mm-hmm. Obama came in, no drama Obama. People like Mitt Romney said, let the auto industry die. Didn't. The country didn't go into a depression, and it could have with the wrong president. I also think the wrong president, we came back better for the pandemic than any other big boy country in the world. So yes, I do think it matters who the president is.
I'm just saying, do you think we're better off now than 4 years ago?
4 years ago was 2020?
I think 2018.
I don't know. I was wearing a mask.
2018.
I hated my life, you know?
2018. Are we better off now than we were in 2018?
Here's the reality. If you
we're
got money...
We're not worse.
Well,
how are we worse? In what way are we so... What's so terrible out there that wasn't happening in 2018?
We asked the American people. I mean, inflation, immigration crisis, 8 million people here who... cross here illegally? Like, we don't know who they are? Crimes being committed? I mean,
crimes are being committed
always. People can't
always.
Afford homes because of the high rate, the mortgage rates?
Well, immigration
if Trump would have built the wall, maybe all these people wouldn't be coming over illegally.
Right.
Oh, so you support building the wall?
All right, so Tim Ryan, who's former, I think he's former Ohio congressman, that is the biggest self-own of all time. If Trump would have built the wall, then none of this would happen. Dude, you're a Democrat. You were calling him racist the entire time. Like, But again, they create all of the problems, and then he thought he was being glib. And then when he realized how stupid what he said, I didn't mean that. But what Batya Sargun's talking about is completely right. We know inflation is worse. We know mortgage rates are high, right? The rent is too damn high, as they say, that people are struggling to do things that they could do 5 or 6 years ago. Now, yes, the markets are doing pretty well right now, right? I don't think that's a full judge of where the economy's at. The Biden Inflation Reduction Act, which increased inflation, so we have more debt. But the main two things are immigration and crime. And we know that it is worse now. I get it. You can be super rich and elite and live in a hill somewhere and have your security and not really feel all of that. But that doesn't mean that it ain't true. And this gets to a whole host of other problems that we have, because let's just say you don't think the crime is that bad and you don't think that the immigration situation is that bad. What you should at least see is that the institutions that, again, Brett was talking about before, that they are just completely under attack, and how long can they last when the institutions, which once they bring in woke DEI nonsense, they start focusing on that and don't focus on the mission. A great example of this is this video that's been making the rounds over the last couple of days. This is from the U.S. Air Force Academy. They hosted a transgender Pentagon official for a symposium on inclusion. And just watch this and tell me, does this seem like a serious institution? Does this seem like what the U.S. Air Force should be focused on? Do you think our enemies might be watching this going, well, I guess maybe we could take Taiwan or do some other crazy stuff?
All too often, I hear leaders talk about providing everyone with dignity and respect like it's an aspirational goal. That's not good enough. Dignity and respect is the bare minimum. It's the floor of where we can be. We must set our sights higher and focus on intentional inclusivity, because there are still far too many people out there, not just LGBTQ individuals, that feel marginalized, shut out, or discriminated against. So for all of you out there, I ask you to set out your symbols of pride, share your pronouns in your email, particularly if you're a person who doesn't think they need to. Initiate difficult conversations about racial and gender barriers, and share a bit of your vulnerability in a way that draws others in. You all have the power to take intentionally inclusive actions to ensure the multiple perspectives that we know make us stronger as we devise winning warfighting strategies get heard.
I love how they flash to those like four guys sitting there, like that dude or chick is lecturing them about your problems and we need to be more inclusive. There's just like four middle-aged white guys like, how much longer? Okay, let's just say that that dude or chick in the Air Force is a pretty good dude or chick. Let's just say that that's fair enough. And let's just say he or she is doing the best job possible. I'll grant him or her all of that stuff, okay? This is tough to do this. But I'll grant him or her that. You're doing a great job, dude or chick. The issue is that they are wasting time talking about all of that stuff. It is not that perhaps a person who was born a dude who is now acting as a chick or wearing a dress, whether that person can be functional or part of the Air Force or anything else. It's that once you let all of this nonsense in, instead of focusing on, I don't know, figuring out, can we make planes that fly a little faster, or will go under radar, or some other things that the Air Force probably should be focused on, we're having a bunch of meetings. Like, look at those five guys who are sitting there like, why am I listening to this? They have other things to do. They probably used to do things that were important to the Air Force before this guy in a dress got there to lecture them on how inclusive they should be. But it's not just that. We all over the place. This one is just wild. So this is Democrat Senator from Karen Berg from California. Oh, no, I'm sorry, from Kentucky. We thought it was California when we were doing the rundown. And then we were like, we better Google this. She's from Kentucky. And here she is basically saying that pedophiles should bang child sex dolls. Enjoy.
I was completely unfamiliar with child sex dolls. So I had, of course, to Google it last night. It's a little scared to put it in my search engine, but I did. And apparently there is research on the subject. Not much. But there are what they call MAPS, minor attracted persons. And the limited amount of research that's done on these dolls, guys, suggests that they actually, for people who are attracted to minors, that these dolls actually decrease their proclivity to go out and attack children, that it actually gives them a release that makes them less likely to go outside of their home. And what was interesting is the research did not support the same conclusions for people who were adult attracted using dolls. That did not diminish their proclivity to engage other people, but for those with the... So I'm just a little concerned that, and like I say, the research is not very good, it is not comprehensive, but the research that is out there is conclusive.
All right, first of all, whoever was doing the camera work over there at C-SPAN, like, you, mwah, you nailed it, you deserve an Oscar or something like that. All the guys just like, stop, lady, what? Oh, God, what time's lunch? What's happening here? Okay, the point of all of this, let's put aside whether you should fuck a sex doll for a second. The broader point is, what does that have to do with the government? You get some state senator in Kentucky lecturing, and then at the end she's like, and you know, there's limited research on it, we don't know, but we should probably get more sex dolls out there for these pedophiles to bang. And people, this has nothing to do with the government. Where's George Washington? The other thing that they're trying to do with us, because you will be fucking sex dolls one way or another, because Zuckerberg's gonna strap this thing on your head and that thing on your nuts, and you're gonna be out there, okay? That's what's happening. Here he is talking about how Meta is working on a new AI-powered neural interface. It's gonna be in your brain, too.
About neural interfaces and our research on EMG before. And we now have a working demo that lets you control an AR or VR device with motor neuron signals. Now, I'm not going to show you the headset this year, but here's what I'm seeing while I'm using this. Just the gentlest flick of my thumb to check my messages, and with another quick movement, I can answer while I'm on the move, or I can even take a photo.
Do you want to follow Mark Zuckerberg into that world? Again, I'm not anti-technology. I love sci-fi movies. I love robots and science and space and all of those things. But the very people who for the last 20 years have led us off the algorithmic cliff, who have censored us and abused us and locked us in our own, they're the ones that are pushing us into the future with all of this nonsense. The other thing that they're coming for is our meat. You all know that Dave Rubin loves meat, and he is not going to give up meat. Put that on the internet. Here's Kim Kardashian promoting Beyond Meat. And note that I don't think she actually ever actually takes a bite of it in this. She looks like she does, but no, I don't think so.
I believe so much in the mission of Beyond Meat that I've stepped in to help with my greatest asset, my taste. This plant-based meat is not only amazingly delicious, but it's also better for you and better for the planet. It's a simple change that makes a really big difference.
Sounds good.
And now that I'm Beyond Meat's chief taste consultant, there's never been a better time to go beyond.
She doesn't even look human anymore. She's starting to look like Llama Sue, one of the cloners from Camino. But okay, she says it's better for you and better for the environment. There's no evidence of that. Actually, eating meat has tons and tons of health benefits for you. But putting that aside, you see what I'm doing? I'm just trying to paint you this picture that it's all so weird. You won't eat meat. You'll follow him into the metaverse. They'll control who can be online and who can't be. They'll tell you when to be injected with these things. It's a whole bunch of craziness. And if you don't follow them into that very scary next step of humanity, and by the way, we're gonna all go there one way or another. You can't stop progress. So like, we're gonna head there, but the question is, do you wanna just head there with blindfolds on, right? Like, they want you to wear the Meta thing, but like, you're gonna end up with blindfolds on and we will have no recollection of the world that we had that was pretty freaking decent. And maybe that's partly why, I guess, they wanna destroy all the institutions. They will create such chaos. Our streets will not be safe. They will be overrun with people. Our institutions won't make sense. Our education won't make sense. That more and more people will be like, yes, I will strap the thing onto my head, onto my nuts. They'll pump this thing into my mouth. I'll eat the bug slime and I'll be living in Ready Player One. It actually doesn't sound that terrible, I suppose. Anyway, on MSNBC, they are trying to freak you out about white rural people because those are going to be the last holdouts when it comes to strapping all this stuff on.
Why are white rural voters a threat to democracy at this point? You would think, as we pointed out, looking at Joe Biden's background and Donald Trump's, that the opposite would be true.
I mean, we lay out the fourfold interconnected threat that white rural voters pose to the country. First of all, and we show 30 polls and national studies to demonstrate this. So we provide the receipts in Chapter 6. They're the most racist, xenophobic, anti-immigrant, and anti-gay geodemographic group in the country. Second, they're the most conspiracist group. QAnon support and subscribers, election denialism, COVID denialism and scientific skepticism, Obama birtherism. Third, anti-democratic sentiments. They don't believe in an independent press, free speech. They're most likely to say the president should be able to act unilaterally without any checks from Congress or the courts or the bureaucracy. They're also the most strongly white nationalist and white Christian nationalist. And fourth, they are most likely to excuse or justify violence as an acceptable alternative to peaceful public discourse.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, because it was those white rural people who have been burning down our cities, right? It was those white rural people who wanted the president of the United States to mandate the vaccine. Like, the list goes on and on of the lies. Again, it's that freaking mirror. It's just incredible. Mirrors would solve the problem. That's it. We're buying mirrors for everybody. That's all they need there. Just think everything they say is completely the reverse of the truth. They are true, but what they really are trying to do is they want you to think that those white people who just want to be left alone, that they are the real problem. And it just ain't true, and it's dangerous. And wait till we have robots out on the street. We talked about this last week. They're going to have humanoid robots out on the street who will have DEI programmed into them. And wait a minute, there's a white family over there going to church. We better take them out. But what do we do about all of this? Well, we speak truth to power, as you guys know. We can hopefully rebuild the institutions, but really we probably have to move to our own communities and find those pockets of sanity, which, as I pointed out, actually exist. But really there's something much more personal and much more empowering that you can do, which is maybe figure out your shit. And if you figure out your shit, you could start ordering the universe right. Look, I did a little Jordan Peterson move right there, which is a good segue because we got a little Jordan Peterson.
We're already in World War III. So I'd give that 100%. How far will it go? Depends on how stiff-necked we are, right? So the Egyptian tyrant is visited by, is it 10 plagues? The last plague is the destruction of the future itself. And what does it mean to learn? Well, this is why I'm a psychologist, not a politician, or a theologian to whatever degree I lay pretensions to that. Someone concerned with spiritual matters, let's say, psychological matters. Redemption is a matter of individual determination. So that's why I operate at the big level of the individual. How far will we have to go? Depends on how many sins you decide to continue harboring. How are you connected? How is that decision connected to the destiny of the world? We all bear the world on our shoulders. How can that be true? Here's one way of thinking about it. How much better would the people around you be if you were better? Some, obviously. What's the ultimate extent of that? What if you were everything you could be? That's what you're called upon to be. You're called upon to be everything you can be. Why? Not least because the... Try getting through the world without doing it.
True. It's just true. That line. How is that connected to the destiny of the world? So think about that. If you start doing the thing right for yourself, and I don't sit here as Jesus pretending I'm perfect all the time, obviously, but if you start ordering things, and then next thing you know, well, the people in your family who literally live in your home, they're starting to order things properly because you've ordered something properly. So you've mapped it a little bit. Things getting a little bit better. We start getting a little more order rather than chaos, right? And then next thing you know, your community, I don't know, the neighbor is like, boy, you know, they've been doing some nice stuff over at their house. The landscaping looks nice. They clean up trash. Well, maybe we'll start doing that. And then that starts happening. And then you might actually, as a community, build a garden that you all start going to and learning a little something. And maybe you elect a mayor who's a little bit better than your current mayor. And maybe that is what's connected to the destiny of the world. So that is the powerful thing. And that also gets us all the way back to the beginning of the show. when we were talking about it, those people from MSNBC saying that no, it's the government that made you free. No, it isn't, but it's because they don't believe in God or anything outside of themselves that leads them to wanting to create a man-made power that can rule over them. But it ain't right. It ain't right. It's backwards. It's wrong. So I got one more from Dr. Phil that I think will tie this together nicely. Seeing that the problems and the issues that you've been talking about for decades now have scaled up and they're algorithmically charged and everything else because of this thing, what gives you hope that we can actually get on the other side of this and get back to some of the things you write about in the book?
Well, we've got to wake up the masses to what the issues are, because, you know, you kind of get back to your life and you think, hey, you know, things are like they always were. You know, we're still watching our favorite TV shows. We're still watching the Cowboys and the Chiefs and the Super Bowl's coming. And we're still going to go to the lake this summer. And kind of, you know, everything's like it was. No, it's not. We've got a generation in trouble here, and we can't put our head in the sand. We've got to say, look, you're electing the people that are precipitating these problems. And it starts from the bottom of the ticket up. You can go in and say, who am I going to vote for president? The biggest con out there is, hey, just vote. No, don't just vote. Make an informed vote. Find out who's doing the job you want and who isn't. I don't care if you think it's Republican or Democrat. Find out who's doing the job you want and vote your conscience about whether they're doing what you think should be done in your community, and vote from the bottom up.
Vote from the bottom up. That was the line that I wanted to get you to that would connect it to the Jordan thing. Because what Jordan's saying is it's bottom up. That's how you organize a society. He believes in the individual first. And if you do right by your destiny, that can scale up in your community. And that basically is exactly what Dr. Phil is laying out there from a political perspective, right? Don't expect the king to fix all of your problems. But maybe if you do some of the work that Jordan's talking about, you start doing some of that on the ground, getting good politicians here, maybe we can scale it up this way. We got a lot of work to do. I think that is the point of this Monday show. We have a post-game show where we're going to be fiddling with some lighting. If you want to see us, how we test and make sure that the show looks as good as possible, you can join us at RubenReport.locals.com in about 30 seconds. People on the internet's live at 1 p.m. Then I'm going to the dentist today. Getting the annual cleaning. Ironically, Brock getting a cleaning the same exact time I'm getting cleaning. We did not know that was going to happen. What are the chances? It's the universe speaking. We leave you with the pro-Hamas caucus. May God have mercy on our souls. Goodbye.
No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Thanks for tuning in to The Rubin Report. You can watch the show live every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. Don't forget to rate, review, share, and subscribe to this podcast. And you can join me for the post-game wrap-up every day after the show at RubenReport.locals.com.